In a world where first impressions matter more than ever, etiquette expert Adrian Barker joins us to reveal the surprising truth about how mastering the art of professional conduct can unlock doors, build bridges, make amazing connections, and elevate your business to new heights. So you're about to hear a really intriguing conversation that will challenge your assumptions about etiquette and show how you can actually use etiquette to empower you yourself with the tools to navigate the social complexities of today's business landscape. We talk about general etiquette. We talk about etiquette on LinkedIn and etiquette in the ways that can help your business and make the difference that makes the difference. Hello, friend. I'm Kendra, and you've tuned into the Invisible to Invincible podcast, where passionately driven business owners share their journeys from hidden gems to industry leaders. Together, we'll uncover the secrets, mental shifts, and visibility and marketing strategies that turn these hidden gems into undeniable forces. So hit that subscribe button and let's dive in. Welcome, Adrian. Thanks for joining us today.
I'm excited to be here. And is that red hair and blue eyes?
It is.
I love it. You're beautiful. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, one of the things that really intrigued me about your background and your story is that you focus a lot on corporate etiquette and LinkedIn. And having written a digital etiquette book myself, I'm like, let's talk etiquette.
Let's do it. I do want to be upfront. Yes. That today I missed a meeting. Mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed. It does happen sometimes, but I actually missed a meeting. And the minute I realized I missed a meeting, I sent an email going, I have no excuse, but I missed the meeting, obviously. It would have been great if they like text me to say, hey, your time is now, you know, or a little help, right? But the message I got back wasn't very nice. I mean, we all make mistakes. So I just want to like lay that out there. None of us are perfect. We learn from our mistakes. I knew I woke up this morning, knew that I had two appointments today, and I missed the other one. It doesn't matter what my excuse is. The response back wasn't the nicest to me, but I want to admit that I make the mistake. And on top of that, LinkedIn was down today for a little bit. And you know how I knew? I know. I had to find out on X.
Oh my gosh.
So X was what told me that LinkedIn was down and everyone's going crazy because Facebook was down and all of that. So anyways, today I want to talk etiquette, but I want to make sure everyone knows that we all make mistakes.
And that's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And it's not the like, do as I say, not as I do. It's the everyone makes mistakes because we're all human. But as we get started, before we dive into this conversation, can you tell everyone a little bit about what you do?
Yes. So I grew up in a family business. Mm-hmm. And I realized at one point that I was missing etiquette. Like I just wasn't sure how things were to be done, right? Like I dining etiquette, how you pick someone up, where they go in your car. I mean, how to make introductions, handshakes, all of that. But also internally, I'm kind of like a goody two shoes. I like to do things the right way. I feel better when I do things the right way. And I never want to make anyone feel bad, like missing the meeting today. It's not my goal. So I was thinking about it, and you know how life just says, someone says, you should look at etiquette. And I thought, ooh, let me look at schools. And then sure enough, I found the Protocol School of Washington out of Washington, D.C., signed up for the week-long and very intensive course that they give. And now about 1,500 people graduate from the Protocol School of Washington. I want to say they do about four classes a year before COVID, about 22 people. They also do protocol officers. And I don't know if you realize this, but a lot of your universities have protocol officers, your large companies have protocol officers, and even the White House normally would have a protocol officer. Now, there were 4 years where there was not a protocol officer in the White House. I don't talk politics and I don't talk religion, so you could take it from there. And I just felt a real drive with understanding that I wanted to teach people corporate etiquette.
That's so interesting. I grew up with a family business as well. And I, you know, there were so many things I didn't know. I was also in a little beach town in Northern California where like my first job was surrounded by people from New York and they were appalled like my first week of work because I wore something with white after Labor Day, which I didn't know was a rule. Like my shoes were flip-flops, right? Like I didn't know. And I distinctly remember going to nice dinners and just like watching, what fork do I use? What do I do? Because there was no one I could ask. There was no one that I felt comfortable to ask. So the having the foresight to know that that's what you want to learn and that that's going to help you and help you help others is pretty astounding.
Well, I knew that if I was so worried about what fork I would use and where, how do I get those dinner rolls from across the table to me so I could eat it? Do I get up? Do I walk around? Do I ask them to pass it? I mean, there's so many questions that I wouldn't be able to concentrate on the conversation at hand. And that was most important, is building relationships during a meal. So that was really important to me. And I just knew instinctively I needed help.
Now, how does that, how do you use that to help your clients now?
Well, for my clients now, and actually we have a whole new set of after COVID, and even during COVID, we had the digital, and I love that you wrote a book. But after COVID, we actually have a lot of university students graduating and they have not been taught any essential skills. They used to be called soft skills. I call them essential skills. And so under Professional Global Etiquette, My Business, there's actually a whole slew of workshops from communications to ethics to customer service, all of that rolled into one, which falls under corporate etiquette. But, you know, I don't know. There's no class that says, okay, kids, let's open up our etiquette book. Turn to page 21. We're going to be talking about how to stand up when you meet someone. So these students really need to know. And then you have, you know, also we have more people looking for jobs, going on interviews. Once we kind of open back up, that's another thing. A lot of the younger generation, they really don't understand. And in essence, they kind of do everything wrong, not their fault, but it's all they know. And they've been stuck at home for maybe almost 6 months to a year, depending on where you're living. So they're going from remote to the office. And that's not so easy. And we forget the things that are important.
And there's so many things that are important, because it's especially when you're that first impression, right? Like there's so many things that are important that can make a big difference in how you're perceived. And that's going to stick with you.
We're talking very intelligent people. During COVID, what I thought was so striking was the story of the judge that had to reprimand the attorneys. One, for not wearing a shirt. Excuse me, it'd be good for you to wear a shirt. Second, okay, attorneys, you cannot be on trial on Zoom in your bed sheet, in bed. We see your sheets. Like, you can't do that. Your backboard on your bed is showing. But the reality is many people thought that they could, and they didn't think twice about doing, you know, some crazy things. And we heard all those stories, but now it's really real life, and it kind of just blended right in.
Yeah. And in some ways, like, there's aspects of it that I like, just the relaxing of things, because I help people learn how to go live and show up as, you know, show up on camera and have that confidence. And so many people worry about being perfect. And it's not about being perfect. It's very much of showing up as you are, but you still think there's a level of etiquette that you need to follow no matter what you're doing.
I think etiquette is also focus too. Mm-hmm. Being able to stay focused, not interrupting.
You're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. It's funny because I always describe, right, like I co-wrote the Digital Etiquette for Dummies book. And I always describe it as the book everyone needs, but no one wants to receive. Right? Like, oh, I don't need that. Yeah, you do. Yeah. And so what I think is interesting is what you do are people that recognize that they need that. Recognize that those tools and what you have to offer is going to help make them stand out and help them make a difference in what they're doing.
Yeah, it really is. It's all about outclassing the other person. When you're on an interview and, you know, when you're in the waiting room, I say, get off your phone. Just show that you can wait and that you don't need to be on your phone every 2 minutes. Like, just show that, pick up a magazine that maybe they have there so you can read a little bit there. But, you know, keep an eye out. So when you see the person, oh, you know what the biggest thing is, and this is not digital, but real life related, stand up for someone. It doesn't matter. Now, if you can't stand up, if you're, you know, in an area where you just can't physically stand up, I'm not saying that. But if you're at any event, stand up and greet someone. That's a big deal. That's just showing respect. Again, it doesn't matter who the person is. Just stand up.
I have so many questions. So I'm going to start here. You talked about how you got started with etiquette. How do you reach people who want this, right? Like, do you use a person, your personal brand? Like, how do you get in front of people?
So when we created, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, how do you get in front of people who, one, need etiquette, but two, more importantly, realize that they need etiquette? Because those are two very different things.
Yeah, and training every day and just kind of staying, being a good role model. So the answer would be, so when I started Professional Global Etiquette, it was actually to teach etiquette in China. That was my goal, to teach, Western etiquette there. And I was really excited. I did. My daughter and I, we moved to Nanjing, China. It was amazing. Had an apartment. Did not have my work visa and was afraid to wait for it because at that point I was told by the companies, like, without your work visa, you could get in trouble. And it's not the employer getting in trouble, it's you. So I did leave China, but I enjoyed my time there. It was absolutely lovely. The thing is with etiquette, so Professional Global Etiquette, so we kind of started that way, but then I realized, wait, this is something, these essential skills everyone needs. So first I started to just get my brand together. So I went and I got on a lot of talking shows. Then I had in 2017-18, I had my own show and it was called Adrian's P's and Q's. It was kind of like a Dear Abby. I would go on to Quora or Reddit and I would ask questions and then I would answer them live and then people could call in. It was a radio station that was hosted by this lovely woman, Debbie, in Michigan. I got to see her too and go live there. So that was a lot of fun, but that was the whole key, was just kind of doing everyday etiquette, right? And teaching. Then slowly got involved with SCORE in the United States. Mm-hmm. So became a business mentor and vice president of marketing for Southern Arizona. Loved that. So I was able to do a variety of workshops. It's really just getting people to understand what it really means and why, as vice president of your company or business development, you want to make sure that your employees have gone through a program. So that's important. So I've trained that way. I didn't go to a school for children. I wasn't like starting the business going, oh, I want to do teen etiquette or, young kindergarten etiquette. But it is all the things we've learned in kindergarten. Really, we should probably go back to kindergarten, all of us. But at the end of the day, I've also spoken to a lot of the career fairs and moving forward. So I love that. I love doing workshops. But I would say I also love LinkedIn too. And I've always had, so the blend of LinkedIn and etiquette really makes sense. And I'm very excited about a new social app coming out called Chatter. And with Chatter, I will start to curate rooms on corporate etiquette. I see it all the time, like on Twitter. And I love audio rooms and spaces on Twitter and anything like that. And you could see where people really need etiquette. And also just reminding people. A lot of it's just a reminder. I got to take this call. I'm sorry. Hello? Hello? I'm just joking around. Kendra, I got you. But that's what people do. They don't even realize it. Let me be on the phone. So it really, I fooled you. I got you. You look scared for a minute.
I was like, oh, we'll pause this.
I'm telling you, you want to ask recruiters. They have seen it all.
Yeah. So let's talk about LinkedIn, because here's my confession, right? I know I'm supposed to be on LinkedIn. I go on LinkedIn. I think I follow too many other marketers on LinkedIn because everyone's trying to outsmart each other. And it's just exhausting. Like, that's not energizing or fun, watching people try and outsmart each other. Okay. So when you think about etiquette, and for me, part of social media and etiquette is understanding how you want people to feel and meeting them where they're at. So if you're busy showing off, you're not, like, you're doing that for you. So how do you approach etiquette? Because there's so many things on LinkedIn, right? We could talk about but how do you approach LinkedIn? Like, what's your philosophy about it?
That's interesting. I do. Definitely, it's about giving value to the people. You won't see on my LinkedIn a lot of pictures of me. Or if you do, I'll just kind of like have a little quarter face. I don't put the focus on myself. And not that I mind when other people do what I saw. I don't judge and I'm not here to be criticized, but if you have just a million pictures of you, they all tend to look the same. You're very pretty. You look the same and you're always taking pictures of yourself. Is that value to the person, and then make that decision yourself. If you feel like it's valuable that they see you in every single photo, then do it, and don't let anyone tell you not to. For me, that's not for me. I want to provide value. So I do have a newsletter, and that is called Business Essential Skills. And I try to get that out every 2 weeks. And that's always valuable. I also wrote a book. I wrote the book for myself, to be honest with you. This is a very important book. It's called It's Not My Secret to Share. Growing up in the family business, I shared way too much. I heard too many secrets. And there is the consequences of secrets, whether it's in your home or whether it's in the work or in the boardroom. But that also falls under etiquette. At what point do you say, I don't want to hear your secret? At what point do you say, I need to share the secret? Like, there's so much. So these are stories that take you through, you know, just people dealing with this and how they you know, what they do when they hear the story and how they made mistakes and not made mistakes. And that falls under etiquette too, right? The you know, sharing too much. So you want to be careful with LinkedIn. I always say you could trust me with your LinkedIn because I do LinkedIn for my clients. I'm never going to go to politics. I'm never going to talk about religion. I'm going to be very careful if you have me, you know, doing any engagement that I don't like things that I think, ooh, maybe could be right. Something. So I'm very, very careful with that. And the big thing in LinkedIn, what really is a problem, is people sending messages. I don't mind the message part because I love when people send me messages. I can learn from every message. But if you send, this is so important. I'm going to say it slowly. If you send out a message campaign and you do not do two things, if you don't have your company name or a phone number, and all I get is all the things you want to do for me. So you just connected with me. You're telling me all the things you want to do for me. And now you make me work. If I'm interested in you, why do I have to Google you, go back to your profile, look who you are, try to find you? So I write back and now I just say, you know what? You may need to really relook at your messaging campaign. By the way, this goes for email too. How many emails do you get? And there's no, it's so funny. All you get is a name, nothing else. That is completely crazy. You, and part of etiquette is being customer service driven. So to me, I would never, ever do that because I make sure that if I want to sell to you, Kendra, I want you to find me. I don't want you to have to work to find me.
I'm going to do one extra there is that my thing on LinkedIn that drives me insane is when people connect with me and then the very first thing I hear from them is a sales message. If I don't know you, what are you doing? Like, you don't know me. Why do you think I know this? Why do you think that I need you? You know nothing about me. And a lot of times it's very generic, right? Like, I live in San Diego and I got one, this was my favorite, that was like, Kendra, I notice you live in San Diego. Have you thought about bringing your team on a retreat to the beautiful beaches in Michigan? No. I mean, it's clearly bots, right? Like, and that's where, right. Yeah. Oh, the beaches in Michigan. Tell me more. Like, no.
It's like a Saturday Night Live LinkedIn skit.
Yeah. And so they happen so frequently that it's like, it's hard for me to take anything seriously, which makes it harder for the people that really, truly want to connect because it's made a lot of us very jaded about LinkedIn and the etiquette there.
You know, to me, it's sad because I want to write to them and say, Can we talk to the person that's doing your lead generation? Because if you're doing it yourself, you obviously don't understand. And if you're hiring someone and this is the message, you need to stop working with them. That's serious. They're wasting your money. And the thing is that I always think to myself, why would you think that I don't have a relationship with someone local? Like, I'll do your website. And I'm like, I would want to work with someone local. I'll do your website for free. You know, I'll do your social. Like, no, I wouldn't. Don't get involved in anybody doing something for free. Oh my gosh, that could really hurt you and your business at the end of the day. But yeah, so to all those that are doing LinkedIn and if you're hiring someone that's doing that, you need to get someone else. And if you don't have someone, then you hire me and I'll help you because that's not the kind of messaging. And my clients are really pleased with how, you know, we both get engaged to make sure that the messaging campaign makes sense. But I actually touch everything. You know, it's not like automated as much as some people do. You would never get, if someone says, are you a bot? Or sometimes I'll write a question back and then I'll never hear from them. And I know, well, someone just dropped the ball there, right? Like, I think if you're going to hire someone, make sure that there's a hands-on feeling towards it, and that they're not just automating everything and not a human being is looking at it. I look at every message that I do for my clients.
And I think that's part of it, because that's so important, right? Having it's social media, right? You need the person in there along with the media. And when you start to consider what that can do to your brand, if your brand is sending out all these random messages, it's not going to help you. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. I can't imagine that it is for all of those emails that I get. I had one guy recently send me a message on LinkedIn, sent comment on my videos on YouTube, send me an email and comment on several of my LinkedIn things, all to tell me I was doing a bad job with SEO on my brand new YouTube podcast. It was like the second week of the podcast. You know, I had like 4 videos on YouTube.
So that's called the schooling, like trying to school you and guilt you into signing up with him.
Right. And why would I want to work with somebody who's just going to like stalk me across the internet and just to tell me that I did a bad job on my second podcast as I'm getting started? Like, really? Really? And half the stuff he was saying was incorrect, because I have some tools to help with that. But it doesn't matter. Like, it's fascinating to me the audacity of people's approaches that they think are going to work.
I don't even have words for it, because I've always had this feeling when I was in an office. I said to Gertie at the front, I said, I want to meet everyone coming in. Mm-hmm. I don't care, Gertie, if they're selling printing ink. I don't care if they're selling toilet supplies. Please get me. I want to meet them. And many of them, I would give a tour and they would become friends or clients, because I want to see how brave, because to me, walking into a door and making a sales pitch to the secretary, wow, right? And I want to learn. So I kind of have the same feeling with LinkedIn. I try to respond and just say nicely, no, I'm not interested. But there's times today I did write to someone and said, hey, you know what? I think we need to talk and meet. I also say, if they say they want to meet with me, I'll say, you know what, let's meet on my live, because I just started my live show or broadcast, I should say. And a few of them are brave enough to say, okay, let's meet. Because if you're brave enough to send me a message and start to tell me about all the things you could do, I hope you're brave enough to like be able to do a live interview and share that with everyone. And sometimes that's a great way to build relationships too. You and I will be connected now, and we'll recommend and whatever we end up doing. If you come on my show, it's building a relationship. That piece is absolutely missing. And I'm here to help people understand how to find that piece and put it in the puzzle correctly.
Everything you're saying is so important. I was having a minor flashback to the time that I used to run the marketing for a pretty large university in California, and I oversaw all of it. And there were different teams that did different things. And this guy from the post office came in and he demanded to the receptionist that he had a meeting with me. And he was an older gentleman, demanded that he had a meeting with me. The receptionist pulled me out of the meeting that was important that I was having. And he was like, yeah, I have a meeting with you. It's like, I don't have it on my calendar. I'm sorry. Who are you? And he's like, oh, well, it's not on your calendar, because I decided that I needed to meet with you. And this is what I do. And my response was, well, I'm not the right person. You need to talk to this other person. And he said, oh, I've already talked to her. She said no. So I decided to meet with you because I want to work with you. I literally was like, and I always dreamed of being a rock star. We don't always get what we want. And so it's like those types of experiences have jaded me so much that when people, like, it's harder for the people who really do want to connect to get through, because there's certain triggers that I look for, because you're just going to waste my time. Like, this is not what I'm dealing with. Or the opposite, which I love it. It's so refreshing.
I love the confidence. I mean, I do like that, to be so confident. I wouldn't have that confidence. I'm too worried about what everyone thinks, but I do think that's interesting. But I also sometimes, Kendra, wonder to myself, who is pushing them, right? Because there are, And a lot of traditionalists, sorry, I'm just, you know, not to age people, right. But a lot of our traditionalists are like, you need to make 20 calls a day. I want the 20 business cards. When you're going to that networking group, you need to get 20 cards. You need to make sure you talk to everyone. Here's a way to do it. You go in and you say you have a meeting when you really don't, and you fake them out and that, and you make her feel guilty, and that, like, all of that could actually be coming from someone else. And I don't want that to ever be something that I may forget, right? So I always say, is this you, or do you have to have someone else is kind of guiding you today? Because you see that at networking, like if I go to a networking event, a real live one, my goal is maybe to meet one person.
Yeah.
If I said to myself, I have to meet 20 people, I would be running around. Kenjo, where's your card? I need your card. Okay. Thank you. What do you do? And then like, so you don't want to be that person.
You don't want to be that person, and you lose the sincerity of that connection. Because you might be so busy, and we've all seen it, running around trying to collect business cards or trying to get LinkedIn connections, that you're missing the actual really good connection. It's the looking for who else is here that's more important than the person you're talking to kind of theory too, right? And for me, whoever was pushing him, I'm that particular gentleman, I'm sure, I have no doubt he was under pressure. He was very much almost retirement age, but to have the audacity to walk in and decide that you're more important than what's actually happening. And since it was a big university, I actually got hit by that kind of stuff all the time, but he was the most, like, everyone else would at least like be respectful of my time. And he was the most flagrantly lying about what he needed, which probably made him more desperate, honestly. But that's not the connection you want. And that's not the way to get the connection.
No. What's in it for me? I also tell people to be very careful. So if you and I met, and I know our eyes, but if I'm like looking over here and you're talking and I'm like kind of looking around the room, I just want people, we all know that. We see you doing that. It makes us feel uncomfortable. You want to be careful of doing things that make other people feel uncomfortable. That's part of etiquette too, right? Where you maybe say something to one person and it's an inner joke, but everyone, you know, hears it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like, you want to be careful because that is very much part of etiquette. You want people to feel comfortable. So watch your eyes. Make them, if you have to leave, it's okay. Kendra, it was fantastic meeting you. And I got your number. I've got everything saved. I would love to get in touch with you. How do you like to communicate? Oh, you text? Yeah. I love texting too. Okay, so then we'll get together. All right, I'm going to just run over there and get a bite to eat. Or I'm going to go, you know, like it's weird because I don't want to say I'm going to walk around and find someone else.
Right.
I'm going to hit the ladies' room and continue networking. Like whatever makes you feel comfortable, you say it. But make sure when you're talking to someone, you keep your eye contact.
I think that's so interesting because it's so important. And yet, there's so many people that depending on who you're, where, what kind of networking event you are, but, you know, people on the spectrum that find it harder to make eye contact.
Yes, that's true.
You know, so I think that eye contact, I tend to be a little more forgiving on depending on who I'm talking to, but there's very clearly the, I don't make eye contact while I'm talking to you, and the, who else is here that I should be talking to?
Yes.
Those are very different things. But I think that the biggest point that you're trying to make it, or not to put words in your mouth, but this is what I'm hearing is, you know, meet people where they are and communicate with them in the way they have shown you that they want to be communicated with.
But you are bringing up a good point about neurodivergent minds and like understanding that and recognizing it and then working towards it. Yeah. So you definitely would know. I have a daughter that's has a high anxiety, high. So it's harder for her to look and maintain eye contact. And then sometimes people will say, you know, the reason why for understanding that it is different, but we should also be very considerate to those that are different.
Yeah. And like I said, there's a definite, and I know that people listening can't see the difference, but there is a difference between I'm looking off to the side while I'm talking to you and I'm actively looking around to see who else I could be talking to versus you. And it's fascinating when you see the difference because we've all talked to those people who are looking around because there's someone else. And at that point, they're just wasting everyone's time. right? Like, move along. There's someone else I could be talking to and connecting with that's not going to be trying to, like, get away from me, that's actually is here and does want to hear what I have to say and that I can learn from too. You know,
there are some networking tips. You know, if you are, like, for instance, always keep your, like, group kind of like open, right? Yes. So don't have a circle. A lot of people will tend to have a circle and you just can't go in. Leave it open. When you go and you're approaching one, and you may want to say, oh, hi, everyone, I'd love to join your, you know, your group. And then when you introduce yourself to everyone. I see that a lot. Oh, hi, my name is Adrian. Oh, Kendra, thank you. Oh, my name is Sam. Hi, everyone else. Like, go through and make sure that if you're going to shake hands or make introductions, do it for everyone. Don't get, you know, like halfway through be like, okay, that's enough.
I got enough of you. You're the rest of you are good. So let's go back to LinkedIn for a minute, because I do think that LinkedIn is a very important platform. And I do, like, I talk to a lot of business owners who are like, oh, it's just too professional. I prefer Instagram. And, you know, everyone's going to lean into what they prefer. But there's so many benefits to LinkedIn that I think a lot of people overlook. So what's your favorite thing about LinkedIn?
Well, my industry, my niche market is a promotional products industry, the logo merchandise industry, okay. All products with a pen and input on it. So if you are in the branding and marketing industry, you need to consider LinkedIn as part of that too. So you could be on all these other medias and your website says, I'm creative and we're creative and we come up with the most amazing ideas. And then you go onto their LinkedIn and it's like, there's no back banner. There's no real information. You're not using it. But LinkedIn is an important platform. I've been on it for, you know, 17 years, 8 months, 32 days, and 5 hours. But I'm not counting time. I just want everyone to know. I have a lot of experience. Actually, when I started LinkedIn, my parents, they would be like, get off LinkedIn, Adrian. What are you doing on it? And I would say, Mom, Dad, no, it's the future. I have, and they were future. Like, what do you mean? And I would be like, okay, no, I look at LinkedIn like this, or in sales. So I get all excited when I talk about this. When you're in sales, there's three things you should do every day. You work with your former clients, right? Make sure your past clients are happy. See if they're ready to do a reorder. You work with the clients that you have right now. And then if you're not considering and thinking about your future clients, where are they going to come from? What if you lose a past client or a client you're working on now? Mm-hmm. How do you keep your egg basket filled? Use LinkedIn. And I show companies how they do that, how you can develop a relationship. And then when you're ready, then you could say, let's have a meeting, whatever that looks like. You could send a gift. You could do a million things. But think of it as a way to build up your future. And it could be anything. I mean, so searching for LinkedIn is important. So having an optimized profile, knowing how to search. And when you really have an optimized profile, and this is a fact, people will connect with you. Mm-hmm. All my clients have an amazing profile, obviously, because I did it for them. So I make sure, and they all get connection, and they're good connections, good. And it's okay to send your first message of connection. You don't have to follow up immediately with something. You don't have to ask for something. You could just be connected with someone so that you have their information. Everyone can share this. I like to say, you know, a message like, I see we share similar passions, mutual connections. I'd love to connect with you and I'm happy to support your posts. Perfect. And then guess what I do? I support their posts.
Yeah.
I support and like and help and endorse and do all the things that I can do, and they do it back. So you kind of get what you give in this world. I may be wrong, but this is my belief. If I respond to emails quickly, clients will respond to you quickly.
Yep.
They do. I'm proof of it. If you answer your phone, and everyone knows I answer my phone, I give my cell phone number, I'm not afraid of it. People know if I don't answer the phone, they know if they leave me a message, I will respond. So gotta give what you want to put out in the world, and you'll get back. When you go into a restaurant and you smile and you're excited to be there, everyone else is smiling. You know, misery loves company. I'm the opposite.
What'd you say?
Your red hair, your blue eyes, beautiful smile, you're wearing lipstick, your teeth are perfect. I don't know. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I think everything you're saying is so important, and it's easy. Like I said, I became so jaded for so long, and there's LinkedIn messages from unknown people, still like, oh, what are you trying to sell me? Because it's constant. And like, you know, there was one person recently who commented on a couple of the podcast videos and then sent me a message, like asked some questions and we interacted and then sent me a message and was like, let's connect and have, you know, schedule 15 minutes for coffee chat or whatever. And I was like, absolutely great. Please don't try and sell me something. Like, let's actually connect. I get it. We're all in business. But find out how I can help you and how you can help me and where those connections can be at a much lower level than, oh yeah, you responded to my question. So now you're open for me to sell something to you.
No, I know. I'm lucky. I don't really have to sell anything. I'm not pushing. It's the same with emails. I mean, how many emails? This is your last chance. This is really your last chance. Oh, wait, one more email. This is your last chance. And here's $200 off. Okay, you're looking desperate. And I don't even think your program is even worth it. So, like, you know, so it's, but it's the same kind of thing with LinkedIn. When I talk to people, there's actually, I don't even want to sell. It's like the last thing on my mind. Most people, after they talk with me, are like, well, what can you do for me? Yeah. I want to work with you. And that's how it should be. And, you know, don't put any quotas on yourself. I guess that's the thing. But I will say, there was one client where she did write to me and I thought she was a Mary Kay, the way she wrote it. And so I said to her, I really don't want to, you know, I just don't want to be sold to. And yeah. She said, Adrian, I want to work with you. And so I was always embarrassed that I like did that. That was always a joke between us because I really thought, there's a time so many Mary Kay, which is fine, but I don't wear makeup. Like, look at me. I don't wear makeup. So it wouldn't be for me. So sometimes, you know, you get those messages and you think to yourself, why are you not looking at my profile? And that's because they're doing too automation and not enough personal. But you know what? Excuse me. LinkedIn is cutting down on it. So if you're not paying premium, you get ready for this. You actually get only, I want to say like 10 messages. Yeah. It's so little. You don't even get that much with LinkedIn and Sales Navigator, depending on your social skill, it's 100 a week. You get a very short message request and they really want you to be verified in order to get a lot of traction. So if you're on there now and the scammers, you know what? It's okay to kind of ignore them because they're really not getting enough traction and they're wasting their connections, right? They're spending thousands and people charge so much money for this service. It's crazy. That's all automated and all through AI. You don't have a human. And what we're talking about is the fact that it's missing that human part of it. Yep. So people come on, recognize that and go with me.
No, I got a message on LinkedIn one time too, that was like, dear Mr. Founder. Your bot assumes that because somebody is a founder, they're a male. Like, talk about doing no work to send out these messages and wasting their messages. Like, you know, it's very much. And I know I'm giving a lot of bad examples. There's been some fantastic examples and people, like I said, that I've connected with and coffee and those types of things. And I love it. It has a very good use. But like when I talk about this, it's very much things not to do.
Exactly. Exactly. I do. When I was with American Cancer Society in Tucson, I had I planned this amazing event, but I got this really one of the wealthiest hotel owners in Tucson to be the honorary chair. And everyone was like, Adrian, how did you get him? How did you get a meeting? How did you get in his office? You know what? It was through one LinkedIn message. And what I did, which was so smart, is I didn't make up anything. I just said, this is Adrian. I'm with the American Cancer Society. Would like for you to be an honorary chairperson. Could we talk about it? And he connected and we talked about it. So sometimes too, being direct and to the point is a good thing to do. So you want to be direct and don't fake. Take however your personality is and consider that, like put it in there. But if you're really anxious to sell and you really want to make a sale, pick up the phone.
Yeah.
See what happens with that. Right. And even that, though, there's etiquette in the scammer calls. When they call, I pick up the phone all the time. That is a great debate. I get the phone. I don't want to miss the call if I'm available because I don't want to have to call them back. Right. So like in my mind, that's how my parents always said, do it immediately. So I pick up the phone immediately. But my problem is that I say, hi, this is Adrian. What I would like to hear is, hi, this is Sally. And I wonder if you have a minute or two because I'm looking to blah, blah, blah. Now the people that are training Sally or now they're you know, the chat boxes. I still think it's real though. But the people that train will say, oh no, don't give them a chance. Don't ask them if they're busy. Don't ask them if they have a minute now. But right. That is completely wrong. But if you're a business person and you're calling, then you know, that's how it should go. If you're, you know, hi, thank you for answering the phone. Is now a good time to speak? If they say no, that's fine. Cause they weren't either going, you know, they weren't going to really talk with you anyways, if you're just like rushing through it. So there's etiquette with the phone calls. There's etiquette with how you pick up the phone and how you're handling it too. We don't need to school everyone. I used to think I had to school everyone in the world. Like I was like this professional teacher, you know, at 61, I've learned all my lessons on what to do. No, I missed a meeting today. And you know, I don't even know if it was age. It was weird today because time went so fast. It was 12:30 and I knew, you know what I did wrong? Because I always have to look at my processes. I forgot to ask both Alexa and Siri, my two assistants, to remind me of the time. I completely forgot to do that because if I did, I would have heard the message and I would have gotten on. So I'm embarrassed, but it happens. But what I'm saying is I won't let it happen again. I'll be more conscious of it until next year.
I think everyone would forgive you for missing one meeting.
One a year?
Yeah, one a year. I think that's fair. I think I already missed one that was at like 8 a.m. because I'm not good in the morning, so I normally don't schedule them. And I always look at my calendar the night before, and I think I forgot that one time.
Trying to sell me. The reality is not that I didn't join because I didn't want to be sold to. I really did. I would like to have been his client. I was going to actually sign up for his coaching, but then he sent me this like not nice email about how wrong I was that like, oh my God, I literally had the money. I was so excited to sign up for him. So sometimes you can't be so quick to get emotional, right? Keep your emotions out of it. If someone does let you down now, and I want to just say this, and I hope he's listening. My first concern when someone misses a message
is, are they okay?
Thank you. That's exactly it. Are they okay? I don't think of anything else. Yes, I would pick up the phone. He didn't pick up the phone to say, Adrian, are you okay? He didn't send me a text. He just sent an email. And I don't know if the servers are down. Something was weird because I got a 2 o'clock email at 4 p.m. So we can't always expect when we send an email that it's going instantly. We don't know what is happening. LinkedIn, as I said, was down today. But he just lost me as a client. Now, he may be thinking, I don't want you as a client. In essence, what he said to me in the email, I don't want you as a client anymore. But he didn't even give me grace. Now, what if I was very insecure? What if he was saying that to me and all of a sudden I was depressed? There's a million things that he didn't think of to make sure. So what if I myself really took this in a bad way and had imposter syndrome for the whole day or the week or the year because I screwed up. Like I literally read it and I said, I'm going to give myself grace. I'm sorry. And I guess I will put my money towards something else because I literally was going to hire him as a coach.
Well, there's both sides of that, right? What if you were, you know, sensitivity or rejection sensitivity and you really took that, like you said, and sat on it for a really long time, which would affect you in all the different ways. Or the opposite. What if you knew a lot of people and now you're like, no, because right in my mind, listening to the story, you dodged a bullet giving someone your money who responds that way the second he feels, you know, disrespected or whatever he felt. It wasn't concern about you. Like, what if you had a giant audience that you said?
Yeah, or he could have a giant audience say, watch her, she's late for a meeting. I mean, we don't know. So I think that giving each other grace is important. I was surprised that his email didn't say, are you okay? That's what I would have had. Are you okay? How can I help you? I know it sounds crazy to say this, but for fun, I'm a podcast producer. And for Market Domination, I love the team. I love producing. It's just so much fun for me. But when someone misses a meeting, Ernie, that's the first thing I say, are you okay? Because the meeting itself is not as important as making sure someone is okay. And sometimes you just, you know, you miss it. So I think that, and I also just want to say this, don't ever send these kind of crazy messages like, I see you haven't opened any of my emails. So you know what? If you don't open this one, I'm going to get rid of you. Okay. I mean, that is a message that people send. And that's crazy. Oh, I don't know. There must be something. It's make sure you're happy in your sales. Work hard. Use LinkedIn to help for the future. But what you really need to do is make sure that you don't sound desperate, that sales is not what's driving you, because what's driving you should be how you're going to help the person, not how much money I can make. And try to be relationship driven. I don't even know if that can be taught, Kendra. Can you teach all of that?
I think you can teach some of it, but some of it is internal focus, right? Like, are you desperate or do you think you're desperate? What is that? You know, those are, what's your reason behind it? Because a lot of times when people get that way, they've lost sight of why they're doing what they're doing and how they can help someone with what they're doing.
Exactly. Exactly. I find people's passion too. It's not me to, we have to go. I find people are very, very driven by passion. And so I love Twitter spaces. And so I go on Twitter spaces and I like hearing the debate. So I like with a lot of the going back and forth, but it's so funny. Like last night, the host is like, okay, let the person speak. And then it's your turn. And it was like, he would say it. I swear to God, it was like 5 seconds would go by and then they would do it again. But what he was missing a little bit is that when we're so passionate and this, that you do that. And also this idea that you can change someone's mind, that I could talk enough to you, Kendra, that I could change the way you think, right, and have you believe whatever it is that I believe. And I'm not going to listen to you or respect you because you're wrong in thinking that how you're thinking. And this is what that political field is like, right? So I don't talk politics. I just want to bring it up that, you know, that's why you can't have conversation of politics at the dinner table, because everyone gets so passionate. But if you live a life thinking, look, I want to value you and I value myself, and I do not think in this world of ours that I could actually change anyone. I could show someone the way, but I'm not going to change who you are. You have to do that yourself.
And I think the focus there is, and I just forgot what I was going to say. I was so passionate about what you were talking about. But I think that there's so many things in what you've said today that have been so fantastic and so needed. And honestly, like a breath of fresh air. Because it's easy to get, and even for me, right? Like, it's easy to get going in those routines and those patterns of like, oh, another person trying to pitch me, another person trying to sell, another person being insincere. But what's the reason behind it? And are they really that way? And that's a really easy thing to forget just because they forgot their etiquette. And exactly. I, as the, you know, etiquette police, know that they're doing it wrong. So it's not my job to tell everyone what they're doing wrong. It's my job to connect and show people a better way, hopefully, by the actions I'm taking. And to your point, they'll notice that. So you don't have to feel like you're selling all the time. You don't have to feel like you're desperate and trying to push these things. So I really want to thank you for, you know, we went a little longer today, but I really just want to thank you for all of the tips and all of the insights and just that reminder of, we don't know what's going on with the person who's messaging us, who's talking to us, who's taking the time out. So we also should not be so quick to respond and judge.
Exactly. Beautiful. Oh, one last thing, if you don't mind.
No.
When the roles are in front of you, I'd like to circle back because roles are round and that's my favorite shape, my shape. So when the roles are in front of you, what you do is you could take a roll and then pass it counterclockwise. So that's what you do. And then, of course, you know, you can have the butter follow. And if I ask you for the salt, you're going to give me the...
salt and pepper.
Yes. Yay.
I'm not going to make you ask for a better meal. What'd you say?
That should make for a better meal.
Absolutely. No, thank you for that. I really appreciate your time today. And everyone listening, I really want to thank you for joining us today. And remember, at KendraLosey.com, we're all about passionately driven entrepreneurs giving you success in both business and life, because it's never too late to make your business and career work for you and not the other way around. So be sure to check out the links below. You can find Adrienne. I'll link to all of her stuff there too, so you can connect with her directly as well. Thank you for your time today and for joining us. And Adrienne, truly, thank you for your time. This has been great.
You're beautiful. And I mean that. And thank you.
Thank you. Bye.